Anna DeVlantis here with you this Monday afternoon. So we talked about this a little earlier. Oscars viewership way down. I guess it was predicted they'd be down this year. 50% though off last year's numbers. So the ratings weren't there. Totally reimagined this year. Totally re-envisioned. And chief film critic over the Chicago Tribune, Michael Phillips, wrote a story about this, had a piece today. Really interesting stuff. I want to get your take, though, Michael. You know, just generally, I know it was sort of expected the ratings would be down. Are you surprised by how far down they are? And I wonder what you attribute all this to.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's down a little over 50% this year. You know, exactly the same thing happened with the Grammys too. Mm-hmm. So something's up. There's about three things you can talk about. One, the lifespan of these old line mainstream award shows, it may only be good for so many decades. I just don't know if 93 years into the life of the Academy Awards, if the televised part of its history, you know, roughly, you know, half that, is meant to draw a huge worldwide audience into as we get into the second decade. I just don't know. It's everything in the culture and our movie-going lives, especially during COVID, has just been sort of fragmented, decentralized. Everybody's into their own, you know, niche interests and cues, you know, Netflix cues and all of it. It doesn't really translate to like, okay, let's gather around and watch what the big movies are, because your idea of a big movie isn't mine. And none of the studios on it were putting any big movies in theaters for the last year because of this little thing called a pandemic. So, yeah. You know, those are big factors.
Yeah, I hear you. It's interesting. I wonder, you know, you talk about this too in the Tribune today. You know, they re-envisioned it in a major way. No host, no audience. And you get why some of those decisions were made. But Steven Soderbergh, the filmmaker, was among the producers of the show this year, or the producer. And he said what he wanted to do was create a three-hour movie in which some awards are given out, make it intimate, and totally change the way this award show reads. What's your take on how did he succeed at that?
Well, I don't know if it felt like a three-hour movie. I think the most moviness of the whole 3 hours plus, 3 hours 15 minutes or so, was the opening credits, which were really kind of filmed and shot like the beginning of an Ocean's 11 sequel. You know, you had Regina King kind of striding into the Union Station, and had this, you know, pretty sharp music queued up by Questlove, and you know, that was kind of a good start. And, you know, once you got there, though, what you really felt like, you were in a pretty, you know, you were in a fairly private sort of a hotel banquet affair. You know, it didn't feel like the biggest event of the movie year or anything like that. But, right. I mean, it just felt, it was sort of easygoing to a fault for a lot of people, I think. I don't know how you felt about it, but
it lost all its structure to me. That grand, you said hotel banquet. Yes, that's exactly it. It felt as if the grandness of the Oscars and the achievement of like hearing the crowds roar and the movie star come up all those stairs, and you hope they don't trip, and they're in their gowns, and I mean the whole thing is, it's just like, I don't know, it's just it sort of elevates the magnitude of what it's supposed to be. And this, I thought, was too down homey. I really did. And then there was like a quiz show that sprouted out of nowhere. It was kind of fun to watch,
right,
but it was weird.
Show, which kind of led to one of the one, you know, really, I think, truly delightful moments where, and it turned out to be more pre-planned than it looked. It was not as spontaneous as it looked, but Glenn Close doing the butt, you know, that's I didn't expect that. That was not on my bingo card for.
Hey, Michael, let's play it. We have the audio in case people didn't see it, and I'm told a couple people didn't watch, but let's just play the audio here, and then I'll get your reaction because I want to ask you about that.
Okay, he doesn't stop. That's not fair to Glenn Close. You don't know nothing about doing
it. Wait a second. I know that's da butt. Yeah, it's da butt. I know that. Da butt was, wait a second, it was a classic song by the great Washington, D.C. go-go band EU. Oh. So, yeah, and shout outs to Sugar Bear and the backyard band and the whole DMV. So, anyway, I remember this. So, Spike Lee, you know, had it written for his brilliant movie, School Days, and my friends at the Oscars missed it, and it wasn't nominated, so it couldn't have won, which I think is just an effing tragedy.
I wasn't expecting that at all, that you knew the butt. It's dope and uncomfortable at the same time that you...
And she broke out in a full dance, which is what you can't see. So people were saying, wow, she can do that. She knew all that musical history. That's so cool. I don't know. Settle it for us. Totally scripted.
Yeah, apparently. This is according to the LA Times today. But, all you can do is think, at that point in the evening, I was like, fine. If Glenn Close is going to do the butt, I'm fine. It'll buy me some goodwill. Where this thing really went off the rails, though, was when they reordered the big awards at the end of the night. So they give Best Picture out, and then they have actress and actor to go. And the whole thing, you saw that the whole thing is leading to the moment where the late Chadwick Boseman is going to get his Oscar for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And, it was never a slam dunk for him because Anthony Hopkins had won some awards for his role in The Father. Riz Ahmed, had some heat for Sound of Metal, sort of as a plausible dark horse, right? But if you get the whole show engineered to get to that Chadwick Boseman moment, and then it goes to Anthony Hopkins, and he's not even there on satellite, and the show just ends with this thud. It was like, that was a tough, sudden, abrupt downfall of an ending, To an Oscar show, I actually thought up until then was like, for whatever it was, the weird year we've just had. The fact there were no big movies in theaters, the fact that nobody was at the theaters, I actually liked a lot of the work that was rewarded. I did think it was too bad that the whole show it took such a gamble on one particular award going a certain way, and then actually reordering the show so that it would end with Chadwick Boseman getting it posthumously, and it didn't happen. So that is a tough break.
How long has it been, Michael? Tough break for sure. How long has it been? The Best Picture is the final film of the evening. Since I've been watching it, it feels like
the whole way. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was a really misjudged, gamble, I think. And other things, I look honestly in these circumstances with COVID, and you can't, they tried to, make it as quote festive as they could, but as you said. There's something missing still. If you don't have the scrum of the crowds out front, if you don't have just sort of the glitz factor, you do miss it. And even in the pre-show with the red carpet, pre-show where the ABC anchors and the rest, everybody else were interviewing people on the way in, it just felt like the party wasn't going to ever start. Know what I mean? It's just there weren't enough people to kind of get you that critical mass of any kind of visual feeling of like, ooh, big night. It was more like a night, not a big
night. It just felt like it felt like a weird new award show. Like, it just sort of felt like
I know. I don't think ABC is going to be running the Oscars for another 7 years until they run out the contract. I don't honestly think they're ever going to get the audience back that they've been losing steadily and now recently very, very heavily over the, year over year. I don't know. I do think they should actually keep experimenting instead of going back to whatever they think, would work from the old days today. Because I don't know, honestly, what kind of movie-going industry we even have anymore. We'll see. We'll see if the movies really come back later this year. I sure as hell hope so, too.
Michael, stand by. I know you do. Stand by for a second, because I want to ask you what you predict there. And I have another question for you, too, about why they didn't cut people off with the music like they normally do. If there's any change, I just think that was a weird one to make. A dramatically different Oscars. We've been talking about that with Michael Phillips, chief film critic over at the Chicago Tribune. Michael, lots of changes that people would like to have happen, and they changed a lot. But one of the things that I'm surprised that they changed was not cutting the actors off or the folks off when they made their acceptance speeches, and they just sort of, to me at least, seemed like they let them go on and on and on. What was that all about?
I'm going to argue with you on that one. I think yes, they did. They did. You're stating the facts. They let them go on and on. And in some cases, it was like, oh, yeah, let's go. We only got one life to live here. But in other cases, I just sort of liked some of the stories that came out were really quite something, including some Chicago stuff. I mean, there was the makeup and hairstyling woman from Gary, Indiana, who won her first Oscar for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and interesting story. It talks about her grandfather going into Northwestern University and not being allowed to stay on campus because he was black, and living in the YMCA. And I mean, just, you know, interesting stories that, yeah, it went past the usual minute mark or whatever they try to keep them at in old days. But I like that. And I like the story that Thomas Vinterberg, who won for the Danish film Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen, the one that won Best International Feature, he told a really kind of wrenching story about the death of his daughter 4 days into filming this thing. And that's not a story that he's been dining out on cynically or using in any kind of like really uneasy promotional sense to kind of help promote the movie. This was, I think, relatively, new information for almost everybody in the industry. And he, I don't know. I mean, that needed 2-3 minutes to kind of like get out there. And I guess moments like that, that did feel fully unscripted, unlike the Glenn Close thing. And could you feel people all over the world tuning out? Yes, you could feel the ratings going down as you watched. But, I just think maybe this damn pandemic is kind of forcing all these traditional award shows to just obviously rethink everything. Like, we've had to rethink all our lives this last year. And I don't know if we're going to end up at the end of all this next year, year after. Are we really going to end up with a big monster attraction for the ratings of the Grammys, the Oscars, the Tonys? I just don't feel it anymore. I just think they need to be something other than they've been the previous decades. And God knows COVID accelerated that move. And, this was a night of gambles. Let's do it in a train station. Nice looking train station, Union Station.
Operational
LA.
Train station, right? I mean, I didn't hear the trains, but I heard it was operating.
Operational. Look, as I tweeted last night in the middle of it, I said, look, I'm not going to rest until they do the Oscars at Chicago's Union Station, just so they can redo that scene from The Untouchables. I want to see that again. Yeah.
That'd be great. That would be so great. Yeah, I get it. Maybe they've sort of just lost their luster, and that's just the way it is. Tell me something though. For the movie industry in general, you mentioned this too a lot. Movie theaters have been closing. We've seen that. I wonder, will they reopen? What do you see? Is it all just going to go online? Are we, as they struggle with what that looks like? What do you think, Michael Phillips?
Man, I really hope it doesn't all stay online. I think a lot of us got more comfortable than we even liked about, never getting off the couch for what we want to watch. Now that I'm double vaxxed and, hopefully the numbers are looking better this year, I did get out to the movies more than most people just because it was part of the time. I mean, I went when it was legally allowed and, to my judgment, safe to check out, okay, what's the Music Box Theater say doing in terms of their COVID, preparations, what's a typical AMC multiplex last summer looking like, which was not good. I was out a lot, and I went to the drive-ins, like a lot of people in town. I had a good time there. I do want a full return, but even that, I think, truly, like everything else we're talking about here in this segment, that's not going to look like it used to. I just think movie going is going to contract. Big chains are going to get a lot smaller. But I do think the optimism I feel is being a Chicagoan. In this city, there's enough movie-going tradition and appetite for all kinds of movie-going. Boutique stuff, art house stuff, nonprofits, university-based stuff, and then just good old, hopefully Godzilla versus Kong and all kinds of multiplexes. I think the economics are going to support a healthy next phase, let's say.
Yeah.
I'm still going to watch a lot at home, but I'm not a guy who dreams of never going out again. I'm a guy who dreams of going out again.
Feeling comfortable doing so. And I'd add theater and the comedy world and all those things we love about Chicago to that list, on top of movies and performances and opera and everything. We have so much culture and so much arts and so such great stuff in our city that will be a wonderful feeling when it all reopens. Fine. I just have a minute left, Michael, and I'd love to know what movie we should see that maybe most of us haven't seen. What's on the list that you are recommending to folks these days?
I'm going to tell you one thing. The movie that won big last night was certainly probably the biggest, Nomadland, Chloe Zhao's film with Frances McDormand. It's really good. But if you haven't seen, and another film that most people don't know, her previous film is called The Rider, and it's the best. It's an amazing film about, it was shot in South Dakota, about a young Lakota Sioux Indian rodeo rider and his life. And it's, you know, that's not a thing I know anything about. I don't know that subject. I don't particularly like the setting or Westerns in general, all of it. And it is the best damn movie I've seen probably in this country in 3 or 4 years. And it was about 3 years ago.
Wow.
It's great. So what I say is follow the talent. You know, mm-hmm. Nomadland, you know, good, I think. The Rider is truly the best Western this country's put out in this century, and it's just great. So seek it out, The Rider. You can see it
that
on
means
all
a
kinds
lot.
Of platforms.
Yep. Coming from you, that means a lot. I'm going to check it out, The Rider, and it is available on all kinds of platforms, as you say, Michael Phillips. Thank you for the time today and weighing in on all this stuff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.